seven verses. Thank you also for the Johnsons for putting together the offertory. Whew. I've said about 10 words and I struggle with two of them, so we're not good so far. But the offertory, that was a blessing, and thank you for putting that work in there, and heard her little work on the vibrato there. That was nice, so praise the Lord for that. Luke chapter 2 this morning. And what a blessing it is to use our talents for the Lord and to give him praise and honor. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. Let's read together here. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." All right, let's pray this morning and ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be in church, and thank you for the health to be here. Thank you for the ability to be here. Lord, thank you for getting us here safely. And Lord, thank you for the special music and the congregational songs, Lord, the Christmas hymns that are sung. And Lord, thank you for this time of year where we can celebrate you and your birth. And Lord, I pray that you would bless now this morning, bless the preaching. Lord, use me in a way that you see fit. Lord, of course, that you would increase and that I would decrease. But, Lord, we would leave here and we'd be thinking of you, and our minds would be settled on your goodness to us and your kindness to us. And, Lord, that we could continue to praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just knock on their heart's door and explain to them why Jesus came. And, Lord, that salvation is a free gift and it's available to all. And Lord, I pray that you would just have your will in your way this morning. And Lord, that you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2 this morning. This is the beginning, I say, because the shepherds are involved as well here. But this is the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, it's the famous part. Of course, Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2, we have portions of the story also put together there. The story of in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 of the angel coming to Mary and the angel coming to Joseph. But this is the Christmas story. This is the record of the birth of Jesus and the history of those few who God revealed the birth of his son to those individuals here. And even God, when we read about the shepherds, even the Lord was proud of his son being born. And you know what it's like if you have your first child or maybe a grandchild, and what do? Well, now here's what we do. Yeah, hi. Oh, I'm Mike, by the way. Hey, look right here. See this? And then we go like this. Right? Well, you're looking at my wife, I guess, if you can see it. But what do we do? Look here, you know, and we scroll through the 40 pictures that we took, right, of this baby sleeping in the same position, right? And what do? We're happy about it. We're proud about it. And the Lord, I can just imagine the Lord in heaven, and Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and the Lord's like, I got to tell somebody else, right? All right, angels, go down, tell the shepherds. They're out there. You go and tell them. But this is that story. This is the story of Christmas. And this time of year, when we kind of think about the story, and I know that we are going to get to the part about Jesus Christ being born, and that is what's happening. But when we think about this time of year, right, the season of Christmas, if you want to put a title on the message, that's what it would be, the season of Christmas. Now, for me, I like Christmas music, so I start early, all right? I can't play it loudly and at any time in my house because my wife is a bit of a Scrooge about Christmas music. Not really, it's just the joke. She says, listen, can we just go all in? Like, can we just go all in maybe Thanksgiving Day or just after that and we'll go through, right? But I like Christmas music. I'll listen to it at any time. I like it. I have Pandora, and I have some different things on there. And if I put it on shuffle in the middle of July, and Christmas music comes on, you know what I do? I smile because I like it. I like Christmas music. But I start early. I'll start early and I'll start listening to Christmas music early. And I know, trust me, you know, Home Depot and the rest of them, they start real early, right? The only thing that keeps them from selling Christmas decor earlier is because everyone loves Halloween decor, all right? If they weren't selling skeletons and dead stuff, right, they'd be selling Christmas stuff way earlier, right? But they come out there, and it ends up being the season of Christmas. We celebrate on the day, but it ends up being the season and the lights on the houses. I like driving around and seeing Christmas lights. My house doesn't have any currently, but I like going and seeing other people's, right? And it's just the season of Christmas. But at this time here in Luke 2, this season was different. It wasn't as we know it. And this time of year and in these days and many not knowing about Christ's birth, they would have been concerned with many other things, many other things. And in Luke chapter 2, in verse number 3 here, we see that, "And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." Now, whether this was to actually pay the tax or to take the census for the tax, the Roman government said, "Hey, you have to go from where you're from, you have to go to that area, and we're going to set you up here. So you have to travel and be in this place and go here." And so this season, everyone traveling to their own city, everyone going to their own places from wherever they were from, Nazareth to Galilee, Galilee down to Bethlehem and Nazareth coming down. That's south if you're looking at a map. All right. Joseph had to head south and go down to Bethlehem where he was from. And all of this commotion and stuff was going on. And so this time of year, this season, it would have meant a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And so I want to look at some of those things this morning. I want to look at, what does the Christmas season mean? What does the Christmas season mean? And to kind of get right into it here, setting it up with what's happening, I'd like to say this firstly. For many, the time of year, this season, is about money. It's about money. Here, taxes. Eech. Right? Who likes that season? Who likes the season of April, right? The season of give the government our money. Right? Who likes that season? But this season here, this time of year, here in Luke chapter 2, it would have, for a lot of people, it was about money. It was about taxes. Not only that, it was about expenses to get to your hometown, right? They had to travel and make their way. It was about food and provisions and everything else as they had to leave where they were and go back to the town they were from to handle what was being demanded of them. And it was about money. It was about cost. It was about all the people that were going to be there. And so it wasn't only just preparation. It wasn't only just money for those that had to go to Bethlehem or those that had to go to Jerusalem or those that had to go to their back home, to their places. It was also about, hey, we're going to have a lot more people in our town. We're going to have a big change of people. And we're going to have tourists coming in. We're going to have visitors coming in. So, hey, guess what? We can feed them in our place. We can make some money off the crowd. The inn, right? We know the story about the inn. There was no more room in the inn. They were all booked up, no vacancy, right? Why? People were coming into town. People were moving around, and it was a lot of things were happening. In the markets, they were saying, hey, well, more people coming over, we can sell some more food, and we can make some money. Sometimes it was probably about that. It was a season of, hey, this is time when we can make money. And even now, some during the Christmas season are thinking about money. It kind of becomes to the forefront of the mind. It becomes, what do we have to spend on presents? It comes, do we have enough money to be able to do this? It becomes, do we have to keep up with so-and-so? because they're buying these kind of presents, or my kids' friends are getting these kind of gifts, and it becomes like this kind of pressure, and it becomes this thing about money, and oh man, we're doing the best we can, but we want to provide, but what do we have? And you know, I would kind of counsel you to just be on guard about that. Be on guard about what we do at Christmas. I remember one Christmas I was down in Bible school and kind of in between jobs, and man, money was kind of short, and it was the first time I was on my own and paying all my own bills and doing all my own stuff, and man, Christmas time was coming along and I was going to be going back home to see my family, and I'd just gotten a new girlfriend, and you know, there's you got to hold on to that, and it's Christmas time and everything else. And so what happened? I was like, well, we got to do Christmas. So what? Got out the plastic and did Christmas on plastic. The first and last time ever did Christmas on plastic. Why? Gee, that can go sideways quick, right? But what is it? Man, we just do feel like we just have these certain things, and man, it becomes about money, and what are we going to do, and how are we going to make it all work, and how much are we going to spend? Man, just be careful of that. Be careful of that. We can lose the importance of Christmas if we just let money kind of become on the forefront of our minds and let it be a worry. I mean, listen, stores are thinking about Christmas. They're thinking about sales, and they're thinking about bonuses, and they're thinking about year-end numbers. They're doing everything they can to get you to buy their stuff for Christmas. It's on the minds of a lot of people, and many people will be consumed with money this season. And I understand we need to think about it, and we need to prepare and all that kind of stuff. But if we're not careful, that'll become the most important thing on our minds, and it'll eat at us, and we'll think about it, and we won't be able to sleep at night and trying to figure it all out. A lot of people will be consumed with money at this season of Christmas. Not only that, but many will be thinking about family and friends for Christmas. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with thinking about family and friends for Christmas. It says in verse number 3, and everyone to his own city. To his own city. What did they have to do? They had to go back to where they were from. They had to go back to where they were from. And no doubt some would have had family and friends that would have still been there. And it would have been a time of reunion, a time of getting together. Back to where they're from. You know, a preacher from the Southeast told a story. He went into a prison to preach, and he was there talking to some of the inmates, and he talked to this one guy, and he said, the guy looked a little bit off, and he went up and talked to him, and he said, hey, buddy, he said, what's your name? And the guy said, my name's Jesus. And he was like, oh, yeah, really? He's like, where are you from? And he's like, I'm from Nazareth. And he goes, yeah. Well, where are your family from? You know, where's your family from? And the guy goes, oh, Southern Alabama, down near Mobile. That's what he was saying. Where are you from? You know, where are you from? And that's what everybody had to do. They had to go back to the city that they were from. They had to go back there, and undoubtedly there would be people there that they would know. And listen, being with family and being with friends, especially if you're not around them all the time, it's usually a happy reunion. I mean, there's catching up to do, there's stories, there's games, there's all kinds of things. I understand that not every family is perfect. I get that. No family is perfect. I understand sometimes family circumstances can bring difficulties or embarrassments, and I understand that, especially around the holidays, around Christmas and that time. But listen, I enjoy being around family. I enjoy being around family for Christmas. And when I was growing up, on Christmas Day, we went to my mother's parents' house. That's where we went. And so we went to Grandma and Pappy's house. That's where we headed as kids. And we lived in town. Of course, the town was about 2,000 people, but we lived in town, and my grandparents lived in the country. And we would drive out there, and there would often be snow on the ground. And we'd drive out, and we'd pull up, and we'd go in, and it's all the memories, right? It was family. The wood stove would be burning, right? And Grandma would be making the Christmas food. And we'd go in, and some of my cousins would be there. And it was just a good time. It was a good time. We'd all sit around one big table and enjoy the food. Grandma always had this like glass bowl of like those sugar covered nuts and stuff. We'd be over there, you know. All right, put the bowl up. Stop, get out of there. We got to eat dinner soon. We're eating lunch soon. I like being around family. I enjoy that, but listen, at Christmas, often families try to get together, and then there's different things you're trying to figure out and accommodations, and it's can be stressful, and the preparations and the multiple obligations. Some become consumed with family and friends and work parties and having to do all of this kind of stuff. It can consume us, and we can just say, oh, we have this and we have this other thing and this other thing going on. And it can just get to where it's the only thing that's on our minds. Some of them, no doubt, also would have been thinking about travel and those type of accommodations. Joseph and Mary were coming from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's only about 90 miles. But, of course, that 90 miles was quite different than our 90 miles. For us, 90 miles can still be aggravating, depending on which direction and where you're headed. But for them to go 90 miles and to make the accommodations, and of course you've probably, you know, heard the joke and the idea, you know, by the time they get to Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn, and, you know, there's Mary, great with child, and Joseph is saying, yes, I know I should have called ahead. I know I should have just booked it on Expedia and been done with it. But I didn't do it. It's my fault. I'm sorry. But travel, we know travel during the Christmas season is what it's chaotic, right? Travel to get anywhere in all the weeks leading up to the holiday seasons is chaotic. I drive by places, I'm like, I do not want to go there at all costs. I do not want to have to go there and go into that place or be there or get caught in the traffic. What can I do to avoid it, if at all possible? But it's travel and it's accommodations, and if you go somewhere to be with family, or you travel somewhere, if you fly somewhere, if you have to do these things, man, and I say have to because we enjoy being with family, right? You understand what I'm saying? But if we're not careful, man, it can just consume us, and we just, every little detail and every little accommodation, everything that we have to do, it becomes a weight on our shoulders. The Christmas season becomes a weight, it becomes a burden, it becomes a have to. If we're not careful, we just allow all of these things to be on our minds. And some will be only thinking about coming and going and travel and plans and what I have to do to put together. And this has to be perfect. And this other thing has, well, maybe everyone's coming to you. And so I got to get all this set up and everyone's going to be coming. Have a place to put them up and go through the whole thing. It can become a lot and just weigh on our shoulders. Some at Christmas time are... At this time here in the scriptures, especially, we could see some were just thinking of themselves. It was just themselves. What do I have to do? We see in verse number 7, and it says, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room. I don't know what that inn would have been like. We get our idea. We just kind of take, all right, we know what a hotel looks like, and we just kind of plop that in a Bethlehem in our mind. I don't know what the place was like. I don't know what the accommodations were like. I don't know what it was like there at that time. But we do understand that many were thinking of only themselves. Because somewhere around the inn, somewhere every place would have had a stable, a place to put animals, a place to put where people would have traveled with and how they would have gotten to and from, and whether it was attached to an inn or whether it was part of a courtyard where everybody could kind of bring animals together. I don't know what it would have been like there that night. You go to Bethlehem now in Israel, and you don't get any idea of what that would have been like then. You get where the Catholic Church has built some huge building up over the spot where Jesus was born, and you walk through the doors, and literally, I was there in 96, you walk down into like a basement area, and they have like what looks like a little built-in fireplace with little stuff hanging inside, and they're like, this is where he was born, and you're like, silent night, you know, it has no feel whatsoever to anything resembling the Bible story. But nonetheless, there was a lot of people thinking of themselves. There was there in that stable, there was a very pregnant woman And eventually a woman giving birth to a child, and nobody was interested. Doesn't seem like anybody was interested in helping or giving up a place to sleep or a bed or anything. No consideration whatsoever. People were busy and, well, I got to get done what I have to do. I need to do what I need to do. There is no consideration for anybody else. I mean, it was customary in the Old Testament. You know that it was customary to house strangers in your own home. To put up strangers in your own home for those in Israel. In the Old Testament, there's multiple stories of finding someone in the street and they're a stranger. They're of Israel, but they're not from that town. And say, hey, you can come and stay in my house. That was common, but not this day, not at this time, not at this season. It was a whole bunch of people thinking of self. I mean, I don't know so much anymore because Black Friday is not really a Black Friday. It's like a black week and a half where you get to shop and there's sales and everything else, right? But you remember when Black Friday was like the only day and the store would open at a certain time and the deals would be on certain things and people would be like trampled and injured, right? And people, what are people doing? They're losing their minds, thinking of themselves. They're thinking of the few dollars that they can save. I mean, we lived in New York, and it was a big thing. And, of course, there were multiple stores and lots of people. And we had friends that would go and camp out because they wanted to be there when the doors were open to get, like, the television for $100 off or something. My goodness, I'll pay you more to not be there and buy it later. But they would love to do all that and get up super early, and they'd be there, and they'd be there, hot chocolate, and they'd be all free, and then they're all, you know, elbowing people to get in the door and get to the sale that was running on the mixing bowls or something. You know, and you're not interested. I'm not interested in that. But what happens, man? People lose their minds. They lose their minds. What do they become? They become selfish. What can I get and how can I do? Man, some people get very selfish at Christmas. I've already used the reference, but the real Scrooge kind of comes out in some people. And this season here, this season of everybody coming together and everybody having to prepare for taxation and everything else, man, this season was a different season. But not for everybody. Not for everybody. What about for Mary and Joseph? What about for them? They still had to travel. They still had costs. They still had obligations. They were still busy and things were, Mary had to come with Joseph to come down and represent and be there. And it was a hard time for her, I'm assuming, and a hard time of travel for her. But you know what? They weren't thinking of self. They weren't caught up with only travel and only family and only having to deal with certain things and only bring money and only be prepared. You know what was on their mind? Especially by the time we get down to verse number 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. You know what they were thinking about? You know what they were consumed with? They were consumed with a new birth. Amen. A new birth. What was it? A baby. Theirs. It wasn't somebody else's new baby. It wasn't somebody else that had a new birth in their family. It was theirs. It was theirs. A new baby. And not only a new baby, but a miracle baby. Amen. Right? One that they knew about. Something that was supernatural. Amen. That's what they understood. Conceived of the Holy Ghost of God, the Bible says. Amen. And the joy of being new parents and holding a newborn. Even though they didn't have any fancy place, they wrapped it in swaddling clothes, which showed their income and how rich they were. And by that, I mean not very. Just take strips of clothing and strips of cloth and wrap up the baby, lay him in a manger. Make sure it was comfortable enough and lay the baby down in a manger. What were they? They were consumed with a new birth. They were consumed with a new birth. They weren't worried about money and friends or travel or self, but a birth. But a birth. And if you understand salvation, If you understand why Jesus Christ came, if you've ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been born again by the Holy Ghost of God through faith in Christ and Him alone, then you know something about a new birth. Amen. You know something about a new birth. Jesus Christ came to give you new life if you'll receive it. Amen. Jesus Christ said in John 3, ye must be born again. Amen. Ye must be born again. You've probably heard the sayings about the time of Christmas. He's the reason for the season. He's the reason for the season. It's not about presents under the tree. It's about His presence in our hearts. Right? The play on words, all the little sayings. They're true. They're true. And if you've ever been saved and born again, what is this time of year? This time of year might have all the other stuff going on, but you know what we can think about in our hearts? You know what we can think about in our minds? You know what we can prioritize at this time of year? We can prioritize the fact that Jesus Christ came and was born, and we can celebrate that birth. But we don't celebrate the birth just of a new baby. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who was born to then die for the sin of the world. He was born to lay down His life for sinners like you and I, to offer salvation as a free gift to anyone who will receive Jesus Christ as their payment for their own sin, and appease the wrath of God and accept the love of God into our lives. If we get saved and born again, you know what you know about? You know about a new birth. If you've been saved and born again, you know what you realized as time went on in this life as a Christian? Man, I don't think the same or want the same as the old birth was. Once you get saved, man, the Lord can give you a new life and a changed life and a purposeful life and a life with peace that comes from God. A life according to the Scriptures, where we can read the promises of the Scriptures and we can know that that God has given us access to those through His Son. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. And Christmas time, you know what Christmas time can be for you and I, and it is for some? It's where we can prioritize a new birth at Christmas. We can think about a new birth. And we can say, thank God. Thank God for that. That's what Mary and Joseph were prioritizing, a new birth. And then we do have the story of the shepherds. It was the same night. The same night in chapter 2, starting in verse number 8. Let's read a few verses. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, that shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they go and find the child, and look in verse number 20. The Bible says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. Here are the shepherds, and on this night, and I would guess that's a pretty big deal when you're just at work hanging out, and an angel comes and says some things, and then a host of heaven shows up and starts singing praises. That's something you probably wouldn't soon forget. Amen. I bet you as they were out there working the next year, they'd say, hey, you know, it's right about this time of year. You remember that? In years to come, can you imagine the shepherds when Jesus Christ started to make His public ministry? Some of those shepherds that would have been there, well, when they heard of Jesus, they said, hey, let me tell you a story. One time, you're not going to believe it, but see that guy over there? I saw him the night he was born. You know how I found him? The heavens opened, and we went to Bethlehem, and there he was, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in manger, just like the host of heaven had told us. And man, look at him now. There he is, a preacher and a prophet. We knew something great was going to happen. But you know what they did in verse 20? They glorified and they praised the Lord. They glorified the Lord. That's what the angels did. The angels glorified the Lord. Last week we talked about the wise men's worship. And we talked about worshiping Jesus and worshiping the Lord. And of course we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did that, what he gave his Son for us. He gave his Son for us. And you know what we can do in this time of year? You know what we should, have on the forefronts of our mind at this time of year? All the other stuff's going on. Right? I mean, the shepherds probably had to fight the traffic just to get into Bethlehem so they could get to the inn and find Jesus, right? They're probably like, man, this time of year, I prefer it when the streets are mainly empty at this time of night. But this time of year, it's busy and people everywhere. They had to deal with everything. But you know what they did? They went away from there saying, glory to God. We saw the child. The things that were said, we saw that in our life and we've seen it in our lives. And man, if you've been saved and born again, you know, this time of year can be for you and I a time to glorify the Lord and praise the Lord. And be thankful unto God for what he's done and providing a salvation for you and the things that he's done into your life. And say, Lord, I want to just take some time amongst all the craziness. Lord, I just want to take some time and not let this season get away from me. And say, Lord, thank you for being so good. Lord, I lift up your name and I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you for salvation and for sending your Son. Amen. When? During all the craziness. During all the pressure, got to get this done and got to go here and do this other thing. Doing all that just to say, Lord, I don't want to lose what this season should be about. I just want to glorify and thank the Lord. The shepherds also, in verse number 16, we'll read it. The Bible says, the shepherds in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know what they did? They wanted to tell somebody. Hey, guess what? We saw the child. We saw, what child did you see? Well, it looked like a baby to me. That's what it looked like. It just looked like another baby and laying there in a manger. But let me tell you what the angels said. The angel said, unto you is born this day, verse 11, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Jews knew about this Christ that was supposed to come. And they said, we have seen the Christ. We have seen the one that the angel said, this is Christ the Lord. And he told us how we were going to find him. And they told us what was going to be there. And the angel said, I bring you tidings of great joy. And what did they do? They said, we want to tell somebody. We want to tell somebody. During all the stuff that's going on, they didn't run and say, hey, you know, down the street at the market, they're running some good sales. The angels weren't interested in that. When they saw Jesus, when they met the Lord, when they saw the Christ, they weren't concerned about that. They weren't concerned about how they were going to decorate things, or were they were going to make sure things were just so, or, hey, guess what? I got a whole bunch of stuff happening at my house. They weren't so concerned about that. You know what they were concerned about? They were concerned about telling people about Christ. That's what they did. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Not just that they saw the child, but, hey, let me tell you what was told to us about the child. That's what they were concerned with. That's what they were interested with. I understand 2,000 years ago, it wasn't much unlike today. The people would have been gathering from near and far and coming to Bethlehem and meeting old friends and making new ones. And Perhaps saw family and sat around tables together and telling stories of obstacles and telling stories of adventures and growing kids and work and the weather. They would have been talking about the same kind of things that you and I can talk about. And man, it's good to talk about those things and it's good conversation and all of that. But we don't want to forget about the main thing that we should have on our minds at this time of year. This Christmas time of year is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him. The shepherds told of Jesus and they told of the miracle and they told of the joy and they told of the wonder. Will you tell anyone of Christ this Christmas? Will you spread the good news of Jesus Christ? Listen, don't let the world take Christ out of Christmas. Don't get caught up in the politically happy holidays. Don't get caught up in that. If you find yourself saying happy holidays, say, I apologize. I meant Merry Christmas. Say Merry Christmas. Why? Because Christ is in Christmas. Be a witness. Be a testimony. Man, going out last night to the parade, and man, there was a lot of, Pastor Aaron was not wrong. There was a lot of people that were out. Some years, I don't know what happened. Some years it seems like there's not so many. Other years there's a lot. Yesterday there was a lot. And what do we have? Some pockets full of tracks, a little snowman on the front of them. And what do we say? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And people were, Merry Christmas. They're, I mean, they don't know what it is, but they're taking the gospel tracks and they're thank you. And what is it? Man, this time of year, people have an ability to put away some struggles sometimes and just, they want to be joyful. Amen. They want to be happy. And what better way than to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. You don't have to be offensive with it. You don't have to, you can say Merry Christmas. You can give somebody, there's gospel tracts on the table back there. What is it? It's an opportunity to tell someone the gospel and to give someone the gospel. There's going to be a lot of things going on in people's minds this Christmas season. There's a lot of things that are going to be going on in your minds this Christmas season. With all the stuff we have going on, most of it's good. Most of it's great. Most of it's fun. Most of it is a time to be able to spend with family. But don't forget about the Lord. Keep Him on the forefront of your mind. We have our candlelight service on Christmas Eve. And I know a lot of churches do a lot of different things. They try to make it convenient for people to be there and everything else. You know what I like about a Christmas Eve service? Because it's right in the middle of the chaos. And it's an opportunity to come into a church and say, what do we do? I just want it to feel, to sit with our families and to be able to talk about the Lord in the stillness of the evening, and just to be able to say, let's just think about Christ. Because tomorrow is going to be wrapping paper and yelling and good food. And you know what? It's just a time to say, let's just remember Christ. Let's remember the Lord. It's an opportunity to invite someone that might not come to a normal church service and come, and we're going to light a real candle. We're going to risk it all with a real candle and real fire to be able to sit in here and turn the lights down and sing Silent Night together. And to do what? Just try to still our minds and to still our bodies for a few moments and think about the Lord and make sure that He has His rightful place in the Christmas season. If you're traveling and you're out and about and you're going somewhere and you're doing something, listen, it's not an obligation to be here, but for those that want to be here and for those that can be here, we want it to just be a time to think about the Lord and to think about the Savior. Man, this season over 2,000 years ago would have been about a whole bunch of things. But now after Christ was born, rose, died on the cross for you and I, offers us today salvation by faith plus nothing. The Lord doesn't require something of you. The Lord doesn't require you to meet some kind of standard. The Lord says, I died for you, and I'll take you just as you are. In all of our sin, in all of our disappointments, he'll accept us if we receive Jesus Christ by faith. Amen. And boy, what a time of year. What a time of year when we can give out a gospel tract and say Merry Christmas, and people might actually take it from us. An opportunity to be kind, an opportunity to share the love of Christ at this season of Christmas. Will you do that? Will you ask the Lord to keep your minds stayed on the right things? Put everything else in its place, but say, Lord, I don't want to forget about you. Lord, I want to stay focused on you. I want to be able to tell somebody else about your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent during this season, the season of Christmas. Don't let the world steal Christ from Christmas. Don't let them do it. You be the voice. You be the one that's on your mind is the new birth. You be the one that's on the mind to glorify God. You be the one that's on your mind to tell somebody else about the Savior. And enjoy this season that the Lord has given us. Let's bow our heads for prayer.